all those guys, we go to the detention center, and we get to hear all these elaborate stories. Wow, some of the stories we hear, I don't have time to tell you some of the stories that I have heard, and some of them will make your toenails curl, and some of them make you want to laugh. But here it is. Lawyer said, "Well, Barney, you want me to defend you? Have you got any money?" Barney said, "No, sir, I ain't got no money, but I do got a 1928 Ford car." The lawyer said, "Well, you can raise money on that. Now, let's see, just what did they accuse you of stealing?" Barney said, "A 1928 Ford car." Guilty. All right. Now, this is where we started last week. It was on the Emmaus Road, and they were doing a walk that nobody wanted to tell. Only two slides that we're going right into to today. One of the most honest and heartbreaking moments in the resurrection story is the road to Emmaus. These two disciples were walking down a dusty road, not towards Jerusalem. They were walking 7 miles the other direction, which 7 is perfect, it's complete. So they were going as far as they could get from Jerusalem because their hearts were broken. So they were walking towards Jerusalem, not the upper room, not toward a revival, but away. Some of y'all in here today, you may not have walked away physically, but in your heart, how many times have you walked away? In your heart, how many times has you heard you? We saw you. We could see you. But inside, you weren't here. Your mind weren't here. Your heart weren't here because something had happened in your life and God didn't move the way you expected. And although you were here, you were away. You're away from hope, expectation, everything that you believe, like them, that God was doing. And there's a lot of folks every week I talk to that are walking an Emmaus road. See, they're walking toward the village Emmaus. All of this. Another way of defining disappointment is to say that it is undoing of an appointment. Disappointment comes as a result of breaking down or undoing our appointed plans, our appointed hopes, our appointed dreams, our goals and ambitions in life. So the Bible says they were walking toward Emmaus. Now watch this now. Yes, there was a physical Emmaus, and yes, they were going to Emmaus. But actually, for this story, you need to know something. Emmaus is not just a place. Emmaus is a direction. And I've walked this way many a time. And I'm sure, if you be honest, you've walked this way many a time too. Amen? So, disappointment, know this, that disappointment can redirect your feet. And my question is, what direction has disappointment pushed you? Which way are you going? Are you going closer to God? Or are you going further from God? So let's go ahead and start talking about today. You see, this story last week ended in disappointment. But this week, you know, Paul Harvey's the rest of the story. The story doesn't end with disappointment. That's what we talked about, Jesus walking into disappointment. We talked about how he stepped into places where hope had died, where dreams had collapsed, where the disciples' faith had felt very, very thin. But today, we're going to talk about what happens when Jesus opens your eyes again. Because your story doesn't end with heartbreak. It doesn't end with confusion. It doesn't end on the Emmaus Road. Look at somebody and say, "My story don't end on the Emmaus Road." Say that. Tell somebody. Amen. It ends with revelation and with fire and direction and eyes that finally see what your heart has been aching for. So last week we talked about disappointment. Today we're going to talk about revelation. All right, you ready? Jesus walked with them in their pain, but now he reveals himself in power. You see, the disappointment had actually become revelation. And if you'll stop in the middle of your pain and ask God, instead of why, you know, I like that one, where instead of saying, "God, why me?" instead of that, say, "God, try me." And watch the difference. You see, instead of saying, "God, why is this happening to me?" here's what I always ask. "God, what are you trying to teach me? What am I supposed to be learning from this experience?" And when you change that direction, how you ask those questions, when you start looking in a different direction, God will show you something very powerful that you may not have seen, because pain has a way of coloring the glasses, and you can't see through those rose-colored glasses. All you see is the pain. So, here it is. Jesus doesn't just walk with you. He opens your eyes. Every time you're going through something that hurts, think about it. Not only is he with you, if you'll let him, he's opening your eyes to something new, a new revelation, a new astonishment in him. So the challenge is, I want y'all to think about this now, where have you settled for walking with Jesus but stopped expecting revelation? Well, thank you. That's fine. Water's water, bottle of water. That's right. Water's awesome. without water, you can. Well, if you get chocolate covered espresso beans. When I was working at Fountain, if we had a big project going, I'd go buy some chocolate espresso beans. And I'd go around to my team and say, hold your hand out. I said, we're going to be here a while. I'll get you some espresso beans. They go, you the man. I said, I hope you say that in about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 hours from now. All right. Question again. Where have you settled? You go, well, Jesus is with me. I know he's with me. But where have you settled with just walking with Jesus but stopped expecting God to reveal himself in a different manner? I remember when my mama died. Man, oh man, the worst pain I had ever experienced in my life. But revelation wound up being so strong, and it completely, 100% changed my ministry and how I handled others, because that pain, I didn't just let it be pain. I said, Lord, show me the producing in this thing. Show me what you're trying to teach me. And it was amazing. And then when my first wife died, the same way, it changed. It changed the way I preached. It changed everything. And then when Bethany died, again, I said, God, show me what you're trying to teach me. Open my eyes. Don't let me be blind to what you're showing me. And the revelation was very, very powerful. So now, here we go. Let's move on a little bit here. Jesus reframes your story with the scripture. You know, I say, well, let's see what the scripture says. I've had people that were so distraught. I say, let's see what the scripture says. And they go, I don't want to hear what you got to say. Or I ain't got time for that right now. Really? If you're hurting, the first place you should go is scripture. Amen? So Jesus is walking down the road with them. And then, beginning with Moses, and he begins to tell all about how Jesus was supposed to live and how they were supposed to die. So what he was doing is, he didn't give them a miracle at the moment. He changed their perspective. Have you ever had God come in and change? The things didn't change. Nothing changed but you. You see, God was giving them biblical lenses. And those biblical lenses, he was showing them all this pain that they were going through, that there was a purpose in this pain. If you could just stop for just a little while, get in your prayer closet, get down the road, ride in your car, do something, get away from the noise, and say, God, what am I supposed to learn in what I'm going through? What are you teaching me at this moment that only pain can teach me? Amen? So, think about this too. Scripture heals your mind before it heals the moment. Scripture heals your heart, before it steps on the scene and does something. You know, it's amazing. We get the cart before the horse. We want God to do something. Then we're going to trust him, not knowing that if we trust him, he's going to do something all the way. We want to have the end result. And he says, no, not the end result. You need me to teach you the journey, not the end result. Don't y'all love allergies? I'm telling you, I love them. All right. Here you go. Ready? This is a hard one. You got to think about it. You ain't got to raise your hand. Don't point. Are you letting Scripture interpret your pain? Or is your pain interpreting Scripture? Think about it. That's a biggie. When I first started serving God, I let pain interpret Scripture. But as I started going through some stuff and more stuff and more stuff, I let the Scripture interpret my pain. You see, he don't always change the situation. He changes my interpretation of the Scripture. Can I get an amen on that one? All right, look at this. Anybody's ever seen a tapestry? It's like, we had some in here. Used to have them. We got them on the wall right there. See it on the wall? Back there, those two big things on the wall. If you could turn them around, a real tapestry, if you turn them around, that's the back of the crown. That's the front of the crown. That's the same thing. Nothing's been changed. They just flipped the page. A couple of days ago, I sent you a mighty army about flipping your page, flipping the page, because a lot of people have seen or seeing that old conglomeration. If you'll just flip the page, you're going to see that nice, awesome crown. So look, this is the back of the tapestry. The back looks chaotic, but the front reveals a majestic design. If you could see the front of your story, not the back of it. If you could see what God was making through all this pain and thought it's misunderstanding, it would be amazing, because you'd see God doing something so magnificent. But at the moment, all you see is the pain, all you see is the problem, all you see is the misunderstanding, and it hurts. So, Scripture flips your story over. You got to get the Scripture in. You got to get that Scripture. You got to get it. And when you get that Scripture in you, it's amazing how I can walk through the detention center and I can see the guys that don't know Scripture, and they're saying, why is God letting this happen? Why is God letting this happen to me? But then I see those, and I'm going, I'm so sorry about this. Said, no. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Or no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Those guys are telling a whole different story. They're both in the same cell. They're both facing the same charges. But one's saying, why is God allowing this? And the other one's going, or where is God? And they're going, God's at the bottom of this, and I'm going to trust him till the very end. So, here's your challenge. Listen carefully. What part of your story looks chaotic from the wrong side? I like that. Yeah. All of it. That's a good one. That's a real good one. Yeah. But look on the other side. See that beautiful crown? Do you truly believe Romans 8:28? Because if you believe Romans 8:28, he says, all things, look to the right, all things are working together for your good. Here's all things working together, because all things don't mean all good things. It means everything in your life, all the good, bad, and the ugly. But when you look at when God gets through, look what you see. So now, Let's go in this thing a little bit deeper. I love this. God is still writing. This is a mighty army, too. God is still writing your story. Stop trying to steal the pen. How many are stealing the pen out of God's hand? Oh, yeah. That's an ouchie, isn't it? You see, you got to let Scripture rewrite your narrative. You see, the cross wasn't failure. You see, everything they had within them and everything the disciples thought was falling apart. They thought God had disappeared. They didn't realize that he was fulfilling Scripture. They thought their story was over. And some of you in here right now, you got things in your life that you're wondering, why are you letting this fall apart, God? Have you disappeared? Where are you at? I don't feel you. And not realizing that the silence is not abandonment. You see, they thought it was over, and Jesus was saying it had just begun. The tomb was not the end. Here goes another hard one. Ready? I want you to stop and think about it for a minute. What lie is Scripture trying to correct in you? That's a good one. What lie is Scripture trying to correct? Get ready. It gets even better. Ready? What truth have you been resisting because pain told you a different story? This is deep. Matter of fact, some of you are going, what's this all about today? But I promise you, tomorrow, the next day, or when you're going through a very severe part of your trial, you go, now I get it. Let me get that scripture out and see what God's got to say about this. So, next. I'm going to just read that. You know, got two cats. And when I get up in the morning, I'll be sitting there trying to work on Mighty Army, work on the scripture. And Oatmeal comes up on this side of the couch, and she goes, and I go, okay, Oatmeal, I'll feed you in a minute. And she goes, and then Gyro comes on this side and goes, and I said, don't worry, I'll feed y'all in a minute. So then Oatmeal goes and stands on my desk and starts throwing pins in the floor. And I said, Oatmeal, I'll feed you in a minute. And then Gyro goes, really? And then she goes. And so when I get up to feed them, everything's cool. Some of y'all, the Holy Spirit has done that to you. And you resisted it. And so then he starts throwing stuff around, even messing up some stuff, allowing stuff to happen, and you still ain't got it. I thank my cats because they taught me a very valuable lesson. When I feel the Holy Ghost, I stop before he starts throwing things in the floor. All right. If you watch, Jesus was going to keep on going. He's talking to them, but he acts like he's going to go further. But they urge him, stay with us. You see, he walks with everyone. He's walking in the crowd. He's walking in the crowd at McDonald's. He's walking in the crowd at Burger King. He's walking in the crowd in those nightclubs. He's walking in the crowd, all those crowds. But he only stays with the seekers. He passes by many, but only sits down with the ones who say, will you please stay? You see, hunger invites God's habitation. And a lot of times when pain comes, you get hunger from God. If you learn how to look at the scripture, see what the scripture's got to say, you get hunger going. And then when you get hungry, you want to find out what's next, what's next, what's next. You see, Jesus, I just told you, Jesus walks with everyone, but he stays with the hungry. Ready? Here's another challenge. Is your hunger strong enough to make him stay? He's not going to force himself on you. Are you going to seat him at the table? Or are you just going to nod at him in the hallway? Come to the end. I love it. You know, when Jesus revealed himself in the breaking, the bread was blessed, it was broken, and it was given. And as soon as it was given, the eyes were opened. You see, there's revelation in brokenness. They didn't recognize him when he was walking with him. They didn't recognize him when he was talking with him. But they recognized him in the breaking. You know, some revelations only come through breaking. Think about something. I want y'all to think right now. Think back to some of the hardest moments in your life. Think about some times when you were driven or you let yourself be driven or Satan drive you to the road to Emmaus. And you're walking away from God. You're aggravated. You can't stand it. And you're pushing it away. And you're going another direction. And when you get broken, I mean really broken, what revelation did you see? I'm going to tell you about one. I was going through a really, 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 really hard time of death in the family. And I was going to Possum Track at lunchtime just so I could go to my house, lay on my face, and pray. I'd open up the Bible, find me a comforting scripture, and I would lay it down. I'd lay my face in that Bible and lay down, and I would pray. And I was asking God, how do I move in this situation? Tell me what I need to do. I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure, God. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. And one day I was turning into Possum Track, and as God is my witness, I saw gold. Gold. And as I was turning into Possum Track, it went over the trees, and it followed the trees. I'm not kidding. As God is my witness, it followed the trees. And as it, when the trees quit, it quit. And I remember David saying, what do I do, God? He says, don't move until you hear the sound rushing through the top of those trees. When you see, when you hear the sound going through those trees, you know it's God telling you it's time to move. Then run, then do what you got to do. And so after seeing that revelation, I was in the mulberry trees. Man, I was in the mulberry trees, which is the weeping willows. I was in the mulberry trees. But it said, when you see the, when you hear the sound on top of those mulberry trees, then you go. And so I waited then. I said, okay, God, you got a plan. Let me quit asking what to do and start asking, what's your plan? What's your plan? And it's amazing how within days the plan came to pass. Perfect. And if I'd have moved the way I was thinking, I'd have ruined everything. How many times have you ruined your own stuff? Okay. You ready? Here's another question. I love putting these challenges in here. I want you to think. What breaking have you been trying to avoid that God is trying to use? Think about your life. What breaking? What does God want to break in your life, or what situation is breaking you and you keep running from it, not knowing that God is going to use that breaking for a very powerful thing? He's going to do something in you that it could be done no other way. The greatest things I've learned in God has not been from Bible college, has not been from Lee, has not been from, you know what is, but the greatest things I learned from God was in my breaking, always in my breaking, always in my breaking. It was in my breaking. Oh, Lee helped. It prepared me for all this. But when the breaking happened, that's when God said, okay, now the rubber's going to hit the road. Now you're going to see a movie in real life. You're going to be the star, and you're going to be playing in this movie. You're going to see this. The breaking, and afterwards, I don't thank him ahead of time. I do thank him, but not like I do afterwards. I'll say, I thank you for the breaking, God. I don't like it, but I thank you. What are you trying to teach me? And at the end, I say, I thank you, God, that you trusted me enough to break me. It's amazing. You see, in order, I love this, when you put a seed in the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant.
eyes.
Jesus told him, said, unless it goes in the ground, unless it dies, it's not going to come up and bear much fruit. You see, there you go. The seed must break. The seed must break open before life can come out. You see, until it hits the ground, it stays whole. And if it stays whole, it stays dead. You know, they found seeds in the pyramids thousands of years old, intact, and they took them out and they planted them, and stuff sprung up. How many's got seed inside of you right now that you won't let God break? If you let him break it, something powerful will take place. You see, when we get this in our mind, when God is breaking is not destruction, it is transformation. You know, God needs to break up our crusty heart in order for us to be able to feel the revelation of God. And think about that poor little old butterfly. He's an old worm. Running around on the ground, eating all the time, crawling all over things, getting stomped. But when he goes in that cocoon, something special happens. Let me move this and then we'll get ready to go to that. What new life is trapped inside a shell and God is trying to break? This isn't easy. This is actually really, really hard. What shell? If you would just let him break it, it's amazing what would come forth. You see, I love it. There's a blessing in the breaking. You may not see it now and understand immediately why God allowed you to suffer and be broken, but he's doing something, and it's far beyond you can ever imagine. Trust him. He is. Our greatest blessing. Breaking is not the end. Breaking releases. It reveals. It transforms. That poor old caterpillar, an old ugly caterpillar that's been crawling on the ground, climbs up a tree, don't understand why they're doing it. They're climbing up a tree, and they're building this cocoon around them. They don't even understand it. And when they're in that cocoon, metamorphosis takes place, and the caterpillar literally melts and is reshaped and comes back in an entirely different form with all those wings. And when it breaks out of its shell, the breaking itself strengthens the butterfly's wings. And when it comes out, that butterfly is now soaring heads above everybody else. You see, why does God breaking to open your eyes? Here's a good challenge. What if the breaking you fear, oh, wow. What if the breaking you fear is the breakthrough you prayed for? Think about it. Mary with the alabaster box. Oh, it was awesome. It was fancy. But when she loved Jesus, told how much she loved Jesus and wanted to really worship him, she broke that box that was a year's worth of wages to buy this box. Then nobody opened up this box or this vase. It was up there as a symbol. And she broke it and poured it on Jesus' head and on his body and down to his feet. And that fragrance followed him all the way to the cross. Can you imagine somebody going, "What does that smell? What does that smell?" When they were beating him, they were going, "What does that smell?" You see, although he was being broken, that fragrance of Mary's breaking was going right along with him. Let me ask one more time. What if the breaking you fear is the breakthrough you prayed for. I've had people tell me afterwards, after there was a big breaking, maybe they got fired from a job or something happened, things changed in a relationship, whatever. And then they tell me, you know, I've seen guys I worked with, they looked like they were 90 years old and they were scared they were going to get fired. They got fired, and then I saw them a month or two later. I said, man, you look like you 20 years younger. And they said, the greatest thing ever happened to me happened when I got fired from that job. I said, really? They said, yes. I didn't realize how much stress I was under. And said, now that I'm working somewhere else, I feel so much better. Or I see people after they've gone through some stuff, and they go, man, I feel so much better. And they were afraid of the breaking, but at the end of the breaking was that breakthrough. When Jesus opens your eyes, your feet change directions. They return to Jerusalem. You see, that same road that they walked in disappointment, now they're walking in revelation. The road didn't change. The situation didn't change. You know what changed? Their direction. That's all that changed was their direction. The direction first was inside of them, then their direction on the outside of them. Some of us are waiting for the things to change, and God's saying, I'm waiting for you to change. You see, the same road, but a new fire. The same path, but a new purpose. When they had walked in sorrow, now they're walking in joy. Revelation always produces movement. Here's one of my last challenges today. Well, no, it didn't. It's next to the last one. Ready? What direction needs to change now that you see things differently? How many believe that? Hold on. Pain ends. Go back to the place where hope died. Go back with fire. Go back with testimony. And let me ask you, where is God calling you to return with that renewed vision, with that fire? What unfinished assignment is waiting for the new you to return to it? Moving on. I'm going to tell you how to walk with Jesus after you get a revelation. Ready? I know this is kind of slow today, but I had to put down the plow because I really want you to think about this. This isn't a shouting sermon. This is a teaching sermon, and last week left us in tears, and I'm hoping this week we'll do right the opposite. Let Scripture reshape your perspective. Invite Him to stay. Here comes the hard part. Embrace the blessing, or embrace, oh Lord, have mercy. Embrace the breaking. Let Him open your eyes. In return to purpose with fire. Here's your challenge. Revelation without movement becomes religion. Where do you need to move? Brandon, come on up here, buddy. I'm sure you're saying, DC, come up here. I almost said it just then, but y'all thought I was crazier than I really am. Brandon said, you sound crazy. Here it is. I want y'all to say this when you see it. Say it. Say it. Ready? I've done messed up. Hold on. Here it comes. Just say the first sentence after altar call. Just say it. Say it again. Say it again. Amen. For those who need clarity, for those who need direction, for those who need fire, for those who need revelation, for those who need renewal, I invite you now to come to this altar. You can kneel or you can stand, but I want you to come hungry, and I want you to come ready. Because I promise you right now, this is not a toe stomper. This is not a jump up and down, but I can promise you, Jesus is passing by. And when you ask him to stay, come on, all that will. Come to the altar. You can kneel or you can stand. What kind of breaking have you been through lately? What have you been through that you were even wondering if you were going to come out on the other side because of the fiery furnace that you're in, because of the lion's den that you're in, because of all the things that you seem to just keep hitting you left and right, hitting you left and right, hitting you, and you're wondering, when is God going to step in? When is he going to stop the pain? When is he going to stop the craziness? When is he going to step in and show something very powerful? When is he going to step in and show himself? And it's hard to see right now because there's breaking. And in the breaking, there's always pain. But I promise you at the end of this breaking, that pain is going to lift. That pain is going to lift, and it's going to lift mightily. We know it is, God. And we trust you and we thank you for it. The pain is fixing to end. The pain is fixing to end. That pain is fixing to end. God's getting ready to get some glory out of this situation. You just got to trust him. You got to trust him. You got to trust him because he knows what he's doing. He's already seen the other side. He knows also on the other side of this trial. You may feel like that caterpillar right now, but he sees that butterfly on the other side of this breaking, and you got to trust him. I want y'all to stand up. I want you to look at this. You ain't got to stand up, but look up there and say this with me. Ready? Get ready. Say this with me. Here it comes. Are you ready? Say this with me. Jesus, stay with me. Break what needs breaking. Open my eyes. Set my heart on fire. Send me back with purpose. Now my question to you is, what will you do differently once your eyes are opened? God, open them. God, open them. God, open these eyes. And I thank you for it, God, right now, in the name of Jesus. Put those hands up and thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you that you trust me enough to break me. Trust you. Thank you, God, that you love me enough to break me. Thank you, Lord, that you know me enough to know that where I need to be broken and how long it's going to take. Thank you, God. Thank you for the breaking, because on the other side, the revelation is sweet. Those guys are terrified on the way from Emmaus, but they were happy on the way back. They left with sorrow in their heart, but they came back with a song in their mouth. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory, glory, glory to the Lamb of God. You're awesome, God. Yeah. Glory. Glory. We're going to get a triple play right here. Come on, deacons. Let's get her done here. So wash yours. Okay. Okay. Barbara still needs a touch. And her husband needs a touch. That's right. Yeah, he needs a physical touch. Yes. So we're going to. The 22nd of May, they're going to go in and remove his brain. He'll be happy after that. No, they're going to the other end, and they're going to take care of something inside of him. And we thank you for that, God, for bringing healing to him and also bringing healing to his wife. Thank you, God, for touching my sister and bringing healing to her and roll that stone away. Father, we know you got this. We trust you 100%. Meet every need, and we thank you for all that you do for us, God. In the name of Jesus, we praise your name, and we thank you for it. We thank you, God, for rolling these stones away, for taking cancer away, taking tumors away, touching many strokes, whatever it is, Lord, touching all this and healing them in the name of Jesus. Let Barbara feel it right now in the name of Jesus, and Benny, Lord, and Frankie. We thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 I meant to say that. I don't know if y'all heard this or not, but with Jonathan Webb, he had a house fire and lost everything. And I'm asking them to tell me what we could do to help. I'm waiting on a response. But we need to at least pray for them right now. And if you can send them a little, they were asking for just money for buying groceries and money for whatever they might need, like gift cards and stuff for right this moment. I don't know what they need. That's just what I saw on the web. That's just what, I didn't hear that from the web. I heard that on the web. Yeah. That's kind of messed up, isn't it? Yeah. I'm not talking about the internet. I'm talking about Ray Webb's son had a house fire, lost everything. And I've asked Ray to help us know what we can do to help. And Jonathan. Yeah, Jonathan. And so we'll do something. We're going to do something. I'm not sure yet. We'll find out. But he lost everything. So anything you do is going to be appreciated. Anything that you do. All right, let's pray for them. Father, I thank you, Lord, for touching this family. I know this is a lot of pain. It's got to be a great, great, great pain to lose everything. I ask you right now, Lord, I even lost some animals in all this. I ask you right now, God, to bless them and bring healing to their hearts. Let them know that you got them in a very powerful way. And I thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Guard them, protect them. And Lord, we thank you for all you're going to do in the name. And let us do our part in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Yeah. Amen. All right. All right. All right. You sounded good, bro. It's amazing how the effects on the guitar can make it sound almost like an organ, isn't it? I thought he got up on the organ and started pushing. He's on his guitar. I love it. I love it. DC played bagpipes one day. Yeah. All right. Keep on playing, bro. You are throwing down. Let's all stand. We're going to say Lord's Prayer, and I'm asking Brother Steve to end us in prayer. Father, we thank, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not.